The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. The devil is defeated. God is exalted, and Jesus is Lord, celebrating Resurrection Sunday with you from Whitby, Ontario, just outside of Toronto, Canada, where Jesus is Lord. You really should come and visit Toronto, because Toronto is where Jesus lives. Praise God. We got the lake. We got the CN Tower. We got Word of Faith Church. Praise God. The Lord is good. Let the Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God is doing a whole bunch of great stuff right now. Don't get your eyes on COVID-19. It's like putting your eyes on the storm. The storm shall pass, but God is God over the storm. Jesus is Lord over the storm. Whatever you're going through, it's not bigger than the Word of God. The Word of God will never change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle from the Word of God will pass until all be fulfilled. Praise God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Praise God. And I declare tonight that Jesus is Lord in your life. Amen. We're live right now on realityradio101.com. We're also live on Facebook Live. You can find us by going to our website spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And we'd love to have you get on board with us tonight. You can email us, or you can call us toll free. Our email is instudio101@gmail.com. That goes right to our producer, Gary, in Oshawa, and he will get it right over to me. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Instudio101@gmail.com. And we'll take your emails. We'll also take your phone calls tonight. You can America 866-905-REAL. That's 866-905-7325. The information is right there on Facebook, and it's also at the bottom of your web browser. You can join us. And if you're anywhere else in the world, you can call us also toll-free, 866-656-LIPS, 866-656-5477, worldwide. Praise God. So glad you are with us tonight. Let your friends know right now. We're on for the next hour. You can forward this URL, realityradio101.com. You can send them Facebook. You can also do a launch party or whatever on Facebook. I'm going to do it right now, as a matter of fact, from mine, so that folks can join us tonight. It's a real easy way to let folks know that we are live. And we're going to take your questions tonight, your calls, praise report. If you're a first-time listener, I would love to hear from you tonight. All you got to do is email me, instudio101@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll give you a shout-out on the air. Tell us where you're from and your first-time listening. Also, again, if you have a praise report, if you have a prayer request, if you have a Bible question, that's what we're here for. I'm a Bible guy. I love the Word of God. I'm not going to try and give you my opinion. And sometimes I have to say, well, I don't know, but I can find out. Praise God, because the answer is in the Word. I found out through experience that every single answer to every single question is in the Word of God. Praise God. And so tonight, of course, is Resurrection Sunday, and we're celebrating and rejoicing that Jesus is alive. And so we're going to look at some of that this evening. We're going to go to St. John chapter 20. But before we do, let's pray for everybody right now. Pray for you and those that are listening and those that will be tuning in tonight. And just pray for one another. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise and honor. We thank you, Lord, that you are King over the storm. Jesus, you are Lord. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tribulation and the trial and the turbulence and the winds and the waves, you are Lord, and you never change. You're not moved by the things that are going on around about us, because you have already spoken your word, just like when you got on the Sea of Galilee and you said, let's go to the other side, and the wind and the waves kicked up. You weren't moved by it. You were sound asleep in the boat, knowing that your word was going to produce the purpose that it was sent to do. Father, we speak healing right now to all of those that are listening, those that might be struggling with COVID-19. Father, we release our faith in your word that says you sent the word and you healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Thank you, Lord, for healing going out right now. I pray for Renee. I pray for David. I pray, Father, for every person struggling with COVID-19. Father, I declare that they are healed, restored, renewed, refreshed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this COVID-19 that'll turn out to end up being a blessing in their lives. You told us in James chapter 1 to count it all joy when you find yourself in different tests and trials, knowing that the trying of our faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire. Thank you, Lord, for the perfected work that's going on right now in the lives of believers as they are being tested and tried. And we thank you that we have confidence and hope, knowing that you will never allow us to be tested or tempted above that which we can handle. Father, we release faith right now that this COVID-19 is cursed in the name of Jesus. It's broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for a quick, swift turnaround, Father, in Jesus' name. We release our authority, and we thank you for it. And everybody listening, everybody in agreement that COVID-19 is broken, shouted amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, go with me tonight to our foundation text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'd love to hear from you tonight. Email us right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Or you can also call us toll free. If you have a Bible question, prayer request, give us a shout. Get on board. Join in this radio show tonight. Once again, instudio101@gmail.com. Go ahead and hit us up. Praise God. Let's read our foundation text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. And it says, we, having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. In other words, I don't say it because I see it. I say it because I believe it. I don't believe it because I see it. I believe it because God said it. And when God says it, then I say it. And that's how faith works. We are to exercise faith in the middle of storms, even when we don't understand, even when it doesn't feel right, even when it doesn't seem right. We are to exercise our faith in God's word, which is exactly what Abraham did, that it tells us in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham acted just like God. You say, what? You're supposed to act like God? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, Ephesians 5, I believe, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. We're supposed to be an imitator of God. We're supposed to act just like him. And when we do, we'll get the same results that God gets. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. That's what we're supposed to do. Call those things that be not as though they were. When Jesus, when the Father God came down to the earth and saw the earth flooded. Water was completely covering all of the earth. He didn't say, damn, it's wet. He didn't say, damn, that's a big flood. No, he wanted it to be free from water. He wanted it to be recreated, and he wanted it to be a home and a garden for man so that man could take the garden that God planted and then develop that garden to cover the entire. Say, damn, it's dark. Damn, it's wet. He didn't damn the earth. He spoke what he wanted. He said, light be. And light was, and it moved at 186,000 miles per second. Light came into the earth, and then God began the six-day process of recreation. And then on the seventh day, God rested. You say, well, did it really take just 6 days, or did it take 6 million years? And the Bible is just a metaphor. No, the Bible's not a metaphor. The Bible is truth. The Bible is reality. God said what he meant and means what he says. When he said it was a day, it was a day. And he even told us how long a day was. He said it was from the evening until morning. That is a Jewish day. It's a God day. From sundown to sundown is a day. Praise God. And so Jesus, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday today, but Jesus died on a Wednesday. Wasn't on a Friday. Couldn't have been on a Friday, because the Bible says he was going to be dead for 3 days and three nights. If he died on a Friday, that means it was only a day and a half on Sunday morning when he got up, the first day of the week. No, he died on Nisan 14 on the Jewish calendar, which would have been Wednesday. And he was crucified at 9 a.m. At noon, all the earth turned dark. And then from noon till 3, darkness was upon the face of the earth. And then at 3 o'clock, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Lama, Lama, sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then a few moments later, Jesus screamed and then he gave up his spirit. He hung his head and he died. That was at 3 o'clock. Jesus was our Passover lamb that died for us 2,000 years ago. And then Joseph of Arimathea, he went to see Pilate, Jesus, and Pilate gave him the body. He went then to a sepulcher that he had purchased, and Nicodemus came with him, had some oils and different fragrances and burial things, and they wrapped him, and they anointed his body with these burial oils, and then they put him in the sepulcher, and then the stone was rolled in front of it, and they left. And of course, we know after that that the Jews that had done everything that they could to get Pilate to crucify him, they then went back to Pilate and said, you got to give us some soldiers, because this faker, this malefactor, this liar, Jesus, said he was going to be raised in 3 days. So his disciples are going to try and pull a trick, and they're going to try and make it seem like he actually did what he said and rose from the dead. But we know that's not true. And so Pilate got sick of their whining. So he gave them some highly trained soldiers that then went to the tomb, and they guarded the tomb for 3 days and three nights. But they couldn't stop what was about to happen. Early Sunday morning, there was about to be an earthquake that would change the course of all humanity. This earthquake where the angels of God, two angels, John chapter 20, Mary saw two angels, and they were, one was sitting on the rock at one point. When Mary saw them, they were inside the tomb in John chapter 20, but these angels moved the rock. And someone said, well, they had to move it to let Jesus out. No, man, they didn't move it to let Jesus out. They moved it to let us in. Jesus didn't, a rock could not stop Jesus from moving. Jesus was able to move and do anything he wanted, move anywhere he wanted, because he had a glorified body, praise God, which is the same body that we are promised. Romans 8 says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body. When we see Jesus face to face, when we see him, when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with him, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 19, that's when we will get a glorified body. And we're going to see in a minute when we get there in John chapter 20, if we get there tonight, you can read it if we don't. In John 20, when they saw Jesus's body, he said, touch me, don't be afraid, but be believing, for my body is not a spirit, because a spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. And he told Thomas, stick your fingers into my wrist, stick your fingers into my side, and be believing and not doubtless. And that's exactly what they did. And the same body that Jesus has is the body that we are going to have once Jesus comes, once the trumpet sounds, once the dead in Christ are raised, once the rapture takes place, and we'll be able to move and operate just like Jesus. Walls will not prevent you. Stones will not prevent you. Again, they didn't roll the stone out of the way in order for Jesus to get out. He was already out. They moved that stone so that the disciples and others, including me, who I've been there, I've been inside the sepulcher. Pastor Cheryl, my wife, been in that sepulcher, went in and saw where they had laid him, but he's no longer there. Listen, Muhammad is still in the ground. Krishna is still in the ground. All these other prophets are still in the ground, but Jesus is not in the ground. Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. And he's alive forevermore. Amen. Love to hear from you tonight. If you have a Bible question, if you're a first-time listener, if you have a praise report, maybe something good that's going on. We love good praise reports and testimonies during this COVID-19 crisis. Go ahead and email us, instudio101@gmail.com. Got an email here tonight from Rachel Lazarus. Well, I love that name. Hello, Pastor. Praise God. Is there any particular reason why you call today Resurrection Sunday instead of Easter? I know that it is the resurrection of Christ, but is there a particular reason? Thank you. Well, I don't mean to be religious about it. You know, Easter is technically a pagan holiday, and it takes place the same time as the resurrection. But of course, there's other holidays and celebrations going on right now, including Passover, which is in the middle of Passover. It started with unleavened bread on the 14th, on the 15th of Nisan, which would have been last Thursday. And it goes on for 7 days. Easter is technically a pagan name, but you know what? I'm almost hesitant to say that, because you don't want to get deep on it. I've wished people today a happy Easter. It's not that deep. The bottom line is that people connect Easter to resurrection. Jesus is alive and he is raised from the dead. So I don't think, you know, getting religious about these type of names is something that we want to do. We want to just celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. Rachel, if you want more on that, just email me back. But that's a great question. Thank you. Got another email here tonight from our friend. Oh, Rick's on the phone. Let's go ahead and receive Rick. Rick is a friend of mine. He is on the board of John Hagee Ministries in Canada. He's a pilot. He's a great, great man of God. Was on the board of Oral Roberts University for something like 21 years. And God is really using him right now. He's given him a vision and giving him a mandate to preach the gospel and to talk about the judgment that's coming on this land. So, Rick, let's go ahead and welcome you.
John, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
It's definitely a resurrection Sunday, isn't it?
It is. In the middle of COVID-19, Jesus is still Lord.
You know, John, as I was listening to you, this COVID-19, I really believe, is a wake-up call. It's the second wake-up call to North America and to the world for us to get our eyes focused on the gospel and on prophecy. That this is a wake-up call that we're getting closer and closer and closer to the rapture that you just spoke about.
I believe that.
And as we get closer, you were talking about the dark and the light, how God spoke and there was light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
6 months before Oral Roberts passed away, this was approximately 8 years ago, I visited him at his house and I asked him, Brother Roberts, what do you see coming in the future for North America? And he said, Rick, I see a separation between light and darkness in people. And he said, the light's going to get brighter, but the darkness is going to get darker. And he said, the people are going to be just like in the days of Noah. They hardened their heart and they hardened their heart. And when God did the signs and wonders in Egypt, it said he hardened their hearts. And right now you can see that, John. It's like a line in the sand. Politically and spiritually, there is a huge line in the sand, and God is separating the wheat from the chaff. And this is a wonderful time right now when you're at home to dust off that Bible and get as close to God as you can.
Amen.
Can you hear me, John?
Oh yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Just didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. But anyway, your message about light and darkness really hit me, and I called you because what you said about light and darkness is what's happening right now in our society. You know, we have families that are literally split in half over politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the one side doesn't want God, doesn't want prayer. They don't want the Bible in school. They
right.
want a total curriculum without God. The other side is a conservative side. They want traditional values. They want God. They want prayer. And the separation is happening, but there's coming a day in 1 hour when that separation will literally be physical. And he will
tell me about that.
Snatch away the bride, and we will enter. If people think this is something,
mm-hmm.
you just wait for the first day of the tribulation period. Because when that tribulation starts, there's going to be a mark issued. And no one will be able to buy or sell without that mark. And I won't go into the full teachings, but I want to hear more.
How do you see that happening?
Prophecy USA, it explains everything that what I believe is coming.
What's the email again, or what's the website again?
If you go to www.prophecyusa.org, I have all the TV videos there, and then we're on every week on Vision and Faith TV and Joy TV. We have about four or five shows a week on those TV stations. And at 1:30 on Sundays is on Vision, and then it's on again at 4 o'clock on Faith. And then on Thursdays, it's on at, I believe it's 9:30. But we're teaching this. Now, what you are saying, John, lines right up. I mean, you're hearing exactly what I'm hearing about the light and the darkness. And so I really picked up on your message tonight. It was very, very good.
Tell us some more. I mean, this is one of my absolute favorite subjects. To me, it's like eating three brownies with a glass of milk, a cup of coffee, in my Lazy Boy with the remote control in my hand. I mean, there's no better subject than this in my book. So you said in 1 hour. So tell us a little bit about how you see all of this unfolding when it's time for the tribulation to begin.
Okay, it's based on the concept, and this goes against traditional teaching.
That's good. I like that. Jesus did that too.
Yeah, it goes against traditional teaching, and I've had this in my spirit since 1986, but there is a nation. There are 8 providential nations in Scripture. 6 of them have come and gone. We have we had Egypt, we had Assyria, we had Babylon, we had Persia, then we had Greece, and then we had Rome. Those are the first 6 that have come and gone. Now, this is all in the book of Revelation, or it's in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. But those 6 nations have come and gone. Those are providential nations that God prophetically spoke and said that they would come. It says he raises up kingdoms and he deposes kingdoms. There are 2 left in Revelation. I'm just kind of shooting here off the top of my head, John. So
that's okay.
Revelation.
That's what we do on this radio show.
17:18, I believe it is. John is told about the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms, and the 7 heads are 7 mountains, but they're also 7 kings.
Right.
And then it says, and the 8th king is the beast.
Right.
So those are the 8 providential nations. Now, the question is, if we're getting close to the New World Order, which will be the 8th kingdom, the final kingdom that will rule and reign for 7 years, we should be able to know who the 7th nation is.
Mm.
And the 7th nation, there is 53 descriptions of this woman in the Bible called Babylon the Great.
Right.
And she rides on the beast until his appointed time, and God deposes her and lets the beast rise.
Mm.
But the 8th kingdom cannot rise until the 7th kingdom is deposed.
Right.
And those 53 descriptions of this woman, every description points to the United States of America.
Wow.
Every description.
So you believe that when it talks about an eagle, that the eagle would also represent the United States?
Symbolically, it could, but if you go through the teachings that we've got, I'll just briefly say, number one, she's a providential nation. Number two, she sits on 7 mountains, on the 7 mountains of the earth with the continents. She rules and reigns through her finances and her money. She's politically and militarily the strongest nation in the world. It says she sits on the beast and holds him down. That word is kathamia. It means that this great woman sits on the evil beast and holds him down until his time when God will raise him up.
Wow.
And God raises him up in Revelation 17:16, where he and the 10 horns burn the woman off their back and destroy her.
Mm.
And then he's given a 7-year rule. Now, the thing is these 8 nations are all described as animals in Scripture, except for the 7th, and she's described as a woman, a lady of kingdoms, who sits on the 7 mountains of the earth. The Statue of Liberty is Lady Liberty. She has 7 spikes on her head, represent the illumination to the 7 continents of the world. The United States right now is the greatest, most powerful economic force and military force in the world. Now, when the judgment comes down in 1 hour, according to Scripture, there's an open door in Revelation 3:10 in that same hour where the bride goes up. So when the judgment comes down, the
bride
will go up, and we will enter.
And what verse is that, Rick?
That's a Revelation 3:10.
Okay. Revelation 3:10.
If you got a Bible there. I haven't got a Bible in front of me. I'm doing all this by memory.
Well, you're doing a great job. I'm so glad that you called tonight. I want to hear more. I'm not letting you go. I'm going to be like Jacob wrestling with the angel. I'm going to keep you till you bless me.
Okay, I've got a book now in front of me. I have a study guide that you can get if you go to if you go to the website, and it has all 12 shows that we've done. And what we've done is we've taken the scripting and put all the verses in it. So you can go to the website and listen to each half-hour show with your study guide, and you can get the word inside of you. But everything that we teach, John,
yeah,
everything must be documented by Scripture.
That's it. So Revelation 3:10 is so powerful. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So you're saying that he's talking to the church at Philadelphia, which is the church that was walking the right way. And he's saying that he is going to deliver them from this hour of temptation. So do you believe that, like some people teach, that that's escapism, that if you believe in the rapture, then you're somehow not a very courageous Christian because you just want to escape the tribulation? Do you think that's what he's saying here?
Well, I personally, I'm voting pre-trib because I do not want to go through the tribulation.
Right, but I know you personally, that it's not that you don't want to go through it, it's that you want God's will to be done. Isn't that more accurate?
Well, I believe it's God's will to deliver us from the wrath that he's going to pour out on the world.
Amen.
And Jesus said, pray that you might be worthy to escape the hour that shall come upon the whole world. Now, why did Jesus say, pray that you might be worthy to escape? Now, see, the rapture, our salvation is based on the grace of God.
Amen.
It's based on the works of the cross, and through grace we are saved through faith. And it's from confession of our mouth, and the work is already done.
That's right.
However, when it talks about the rapture, he's talking about pray that you might be worthy to escape. So Jesus addresses those other seven churches. And some of those churches, they have immorality in it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other churches are the church of Laodicea is totally engrossed in money, and they're not distributing it to the poor.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't have money to be a Christian, but it's just that the money doesn't have you.
Right.
And I know that you believe that God wants to prosper us and be in above all things, that we
Third
be
John
in health and
two.
Prosper even as our soul prospers. I mean, we're all in agreement on that. But in this particular verse, he's talking about you walking the line and just doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian. So you don't have one foot in the world and the other foot in church. You're walking, your word is, you're full of integrity, you're kind, you're reasonable to deal with, you're not judging everybody else, you're walking in the Spirit with God, and the life of Christ is being manifested in you. Those
yes.
are the people that are going to get raptured. The ones whose hearts are really looking for Christ and wanting to walk in that Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. So that's the group that I believe will be raptured. Now, with the hour of judgment that comes, John, I have some scriptures here if you want me to read them.
Sure. Are you close to your microphone, by the way? Can you get a little closer just so we can hear you a little
How's
better?
This?
Good.
Is that better?
Sure.
Okay. Revelation 14:7 says, and the angel said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. And then another angel declares that Babylon has fallen, and she made all the earth drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, with regards to the New World Order, it says, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. And the 10 horns that you saw, this is Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns that you saw, they will hate Babylon the Great. And they will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Now, in Revelation 18:8, it says, therefore, Babylon, her plague shall come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. Revelation 18:10 says, the merchants of the earth shall stand in the fear of her torment, saying, alas, you great city, you mighty city of Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment is
wow.
come.
Wow. And that connects right to Revelation 3:10, that I will deliver you from that hour.
Exactly. Now listen, here's some more. Revelation 18:17 says, for in a single hour, all this wealth in Babylon the Great has been laid to waste, and all the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailor and all those who trade on the sea stood afar off in the fear of her torment. And then in 750 BC, Isaiah even prophesied, these things shall come upon Babylon the Great. In one day, the loss of children and widowhood, for the fire shall burn them, and the merchants shall wander away. None shall save thee.
Wow. So you know, Rick, we could see that right now, because I was just listening to the news earlier, and it says that the GDP in the United States over this COVID virus has dropped something like, I think it was 35%. They were supposed to go up 2 to 3%, and it's now dropped 35%. The stock market is barely handing on, but millions upon millions upon millions have filed for unemployment. They don't have a job.
That's right. But you know what? This is what I think, John.
Yeah.
I think this is God knocking at the door of the Christian, knocking and pleading with people, saying, listen, I'm your source, not your money, not your fame, not the economy, not the government.
That's right.
Call on me.
That's
He's
right.
trying to pull people back in to make God your source.
That's
and
right.
This is just a wake-up call. Now, people who are not Christians would be listening to us right now. They haven't got a clue what we're talking about. But if you've been touched by God, if you've been healed, you've been delivered, you've been set free, maybe even 20 years ago, you knew God and you've drifted away from him, the Holy Spirit will speak and draw people back.
Yeah.
Draw people back. This is what he does with these kinds of signs and wonders that are happening. Now, God never created the coronavirus.
No.
But it says all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. What time in history have we ever been locked in our own houses and we can't go anywhere and we're forced to sit here? What an opportune time to sit in your backyard with your Bible and say, Lord, just show me in your word, speak to me.
Yeah.
This is what I think's happening, John.
Yeah.
This is what I think's happening. Now, 9/11 was the first wake-up call. The world stood in amazement, but it was just America. Now we've got the whole world. And you know, that tribulation period, that comes upon the whole world.
Yeah. And this plague is coming on the whole world. You know, there's so many parallels to the first Passover in Egypt, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he did it with a strong arm because Pharaoh would not let the people go. And one of the plagues that came on the land, besides disease, was gross darkness. And of course, after gross darkness was the angel of death that came, and all of the firstborn, if the house was not covered with the blood of the lamb, would die. And there's so many parallels today of now this plague coming. Of course, Egypt represents the whole world. This came upon the Israelites, and now this plague has come once again upon the whole world. But you know, we're reminded that when darkness was upon the all of Egypt, all of the world, there was still light in Goshen. And they said today that all of our resurrection services, I mean, I was up at 6 o'clock this morning watching Pope Francis do the mass today, and all these other Pastor Jeffers from Dallas and all these other believers preaching the resurrection of Jesus. They're saying that more people were reached at one time with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the internet, through media, at one time than has ever happened in human history.
There you go.
It might seem like the worst plague we've ever experienced, which it isn't. I mean, you can go back and talk about the Spanish flu, the Black Plague. Spanish flu killed 50 million people. The Black Plague killed half of all of Europe. I mean, there's been much worse plagues. And Jesus, of course, told us in Matthew 24 that this would be the beginning of sorrows. There would be plagues, pestilences, wars, rumors of wars. All of these things would happen, but the end is not yet. And so there's been much worse plagues that have happened, but we're closer now to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. And I want to ask you this question, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, so if you don't want to answer it, no pressure. But I've been hearing all this talk about Bill Gates. And now today I saw a clip of Barack Obama from 5 years ago where he basically prophesied this pestilence coming in 5 years is what he said on this broadcast that I saw on the regular mainstream media. And, you know, preparing for this plague. And now Bill Gates is spending all this money to develop a vaccine that will go under the skin. And there'll be a way to track it to see if you have received the vaccine underneath your skin. And you can see how if a plague got to a place, or even the rulers of the government got to a place and they said, if you don't have this vaccine, you can't buy or sell. We can see that this is once again another sign that things are in place and ready for the tribulation to begin. Would you agree with that?
100%. And I'll throw something else in there.
Please.
If the U.S. right now, if we were sitting at home and the U.S. had had about 5 or 6 nuclear warheads dropped on them, like the Bible says, Babylon's going to burn.
Right.
The electricity would be out. Internet would be out because of the EMP, electronic pulse bomb. And there would have to be a global census taken. First of all, millions of people would be raptured. Where did they go?
Right.
Now you've got the whole money system's gone. The whole money system would be gone if the U.S. was taken out. So now they have to start. They have to do a global census. They have to start a new money system. And all that could take place in 1 hour the next day. They'd have a mess on their hands.
Wow.
And guess what they would do? Bill Gates and science has finally caught up with Bible prophecy. The Bible says, I have spoken it, I will also do it, I have purposed it, and I will bring it to pass. Science has caught up. 100 years ago, we could never understand what the Bible was talking about. And now, literally now, science is going to fulfill what the Bible said was coming, and that was prophesied 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Like,
it
a lot
amazing.
Of people think that believers don't believe in science. Well, the fact is science doesn't believe in the Bible. Believers believe in science because the Bible is leading the way. We already know what's coming.
Well, you know, Daniel prophesied that in the last day that technology would increase at a phenomenal rate.
That pestilence would increase?
That technology.
Oh, well, we're here.
Exactly.
We are.
And all
here,
of this had to happen in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And it's also just so amazing how God's timing works. I mean, you know, some people think that it's just going to happen randomly, you know, almost like an evolution type thing. You know, the end will just happen when it happens. But all of it is set into a certain schedule. It's on an exact plan of God. He knows the exact second that the trumpet is going to sound. Now, Jesus said plainly that the Father is the only one.
Yes, and it says that wait for the vision, wait patiently, for the word has an appointed time.
Yes.
There is an appointed time coming where a mark will be issued. There is an appointed time coming when the hour of judgment will come. There's an appointed time coming when the rapture will take place.
Yes.
There's an appointed time coming when all the plagues will go across the world and one-third of mankind will die. Now, that is mind-boggling to me.
Yes.
But just think, one little invisible virus has shut the whole world down.
Literally.
One little insignificant little virus, and we're all sitting at home right now.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of fear out there. Now, John, I don't.
But that's the difference of light and darkness, like you were saying.
Scare me a bit.
No.
What's that?
I said that's the difference of the light and the darkness, the fear and the faith, the trust and the despair. You know, when you only got hope of this life and you only have hope of what the doctors can do, man, you're in a miserable situation.
Yes, and you know, I heard somebody saying about, you know, what we need to do is declare, and I believe in declaring what the Bible says, but you know, it also says that Jesus said, the sick need a physician.
Yeah.
God put the quinine in the bark of the tree, and we discovered it. There is something out there. Somebody will be given revelation knowledge, and they'll find a certain chemical that'll kill that bug. It's just a matter of time. So we need to pray and declare the prayer of faith shall save the sick, but we also need to pray for the physicians and the laboratories, because they will come up with something. I mean,
well, you know, they're already saying that in 16 or 18 months, they'll have a vaccine that everybody will get. But I'll tell you, my faith is that there's going to be a different answer that is going to unequivocally, especially for believers, show us that God is the one who delivered us from this plague. I just want God to get the glory for it.
Well, you know, the number one healing evangelist in our generation was Oral Roberts, and the last thing he did was build a hospital.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination.
Right.
If you think the only way God's going to heal you is through the laying on of hands, you just cut out two of his healing streams.
Absolutely.
Or if you think the only way God's going to heal you is through a doctor, you just cut out prayer.
Why That's
not
right.
join them all together?
That's right. Well, we know that all wisdom comes from God. If God doesn't give the wisdom, it's not given. But we want God to get the glory for it. You know, you were talking a moment ago about appointed times. And I love this subject because it has everything to do with eschatology. It has everything to do with how God operates. Nothing happens by accident. You know, the scripture tells us that that everything that God does, he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And this word appointed time is the Hebrew word moed, M-O-E-D, moed. And it means appointed time. It also means festival. And God has seven festivals that are part of his prophetic calendar. And we see today is you know, coming to the close of Passover. Passover began on Nisan 15, which would have been Thursday. And there are three spring festivals. You have Passover, actually begins with unleavened bread, and then Passover, and then the Feast of First Fruits. And then 50 days later is the Feast of Weeks, also called Pentecost. Well, Jesus died on Passover as our Passover lamb. He laid in the tomb, fulfilling the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He raised from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, the church was born in the upper room and the Holy Spirit was poured out. They all spoke in tongues and then they became witnesses for Jesus Christ and all of the earth. Those are the first four spring festivals that God calls my appointed times, my moeds. The next appointed time, do you know what it is, Rick, in the fall? The next appointed time is Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. The next feast day to be fulfilled is Rosh Hashanah, which takes place in September, October, and it's called the Feast of Trumpets. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise with the shout of the archangel, with the trump. And 1 Corinthians 15 calls it the last trump. That's Rosh Hashanah. That is the rapture of the church.
Now, you're not saying it's going to happen in September, though.
I'm not saying in 2020, but I'm convinced that this feast day will be fulfilled, just like Pentecost was fulfilled, just like Passover was fulfilled, just like unleavened bread was fulfilled. These feast days are God's appointed times. Now, no man knows the day or the hour. Only God does, that he set in his own authority. But he is going to fulfill these feast days. How about the feast day after that, which is the feast of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement? That also takes place in the fall. And do you know what is going to be fulfilled on Yom Kippur?
No.
That is when Jesus sets foot back down on the second advent onto the Mount of Olives. When Jesus returns during the Battle of Armageddon and he sets down on the Mount of Olives, this is the fulfillment of Yom Kippur. And then the final feast day would be fulfilled every year during the millennial reign of Christ, and it is called Sukkot. Sukkot is the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, and this is when the children of Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, they set up tents in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us in Zechariah that any nation that does not send a representative to Jerusalem during my Moed, my Sukkot, that nation will be cursed during the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, unless they repent, they will be cursed. And so this feast day will also be fulfilled in the millennium, and God will have fulfilled all seven feast days, which is interesting. Seven also in the Bible means complete. We know that God made the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, complete. We know that it was one, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as of a day. It was 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham until Yeshua, 2,000 years from Jesus until about now. That's 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. He calls the millennial reign of Christ my day. The day of the Lord is the seventh day, and that will be the fulfillment of God's plan. Hallelujah.
And how many years is the tribulation?
7 years.
7 years. It's amazing, isn't it, how the numbers all correlate?
It is amazing.
You know, John, I've never studied all of those feast days, but it is amazing how when you get into the Bible, it just blows your mind how accurate it is.
It's amazing. But you got to have eyes to see. You know, that's what's interesting about the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. He says he's praying for the church at Ephesus. Now, this is a church. They're born again. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. And he prays for them. And he says that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that tells us that just because you're born again and spirit-filled does not mean you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the word revelation is the Greek word apokalypsis, which means an unveiling or a revealing, a pulling away of the veil, a pulling away of the curtain. And so this is a prayer we should be praying in this hour. God, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation. Show me what time it is. Help me to be awake. Show me what's going on right now. And God will reveal it. He wants to reveal it more than we want it to be revealed.
And you know what, John, as you're talking like this, I was in business most of my life, and I studied the Bible, but I never had the time to really get into it. And there's maybe a lot of people listening, and we've gone through so much that it's almost mind-boggling. But, you know, to bring it right down to simplicity, Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and you fulfilled all the law.
That's right.
There's a lot. I had a friend who passed away several years ago. He was 48, and he said to me, you know, Rick, he had 3 months left to live. He had brain tumors.
Wow.
He says, you know, Rick, I had an argument with my sister 4 years ago, and I haven't even spoke to her. And he said, I went last week and talked to her, and it's so stupid what we argued about, and I got so mad, and I lost 4 years of my sister's life over this, and now I'm going to die, and I regret missing all that time I could have had with my sister. So right now, in this time, what we're looking at, maybe some people are thinking, wow, you know, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. But what you can understand is to do, you know, as you examine and read the Bible, the Bible's the only book that while you read it, it reads you.
That's
right. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some people that you're not right with.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some people that you had a stupid argument with, and you just call them up and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. I just wanted to let you know, I'm thinking about you and praying for you. And reestablish maybe some relationships that have gone astray that a simple phone call, an act of kindness would bring healing. And, you know, that's all part of the process of being ready for the rapture is how we treat other people and make sure that everything is right.
Yeah.
Everything is healed. You've forgiven people. Now, they may not forgive you, but you can forgive them. But that's all part of the preparation, John.
You know, Rick, as we close up here, why don't you pray for people right now that are dealing with unforgiveness? Just say a prayer for them, that their eyes will be open and that they will repent. Just say a prayer for people right now that are dealing with unforgiveness or hardness of heart.
Father, we just lift up those that are listening right now. We thank you for your word of revelation. We thank you for your word of prophecy. We thank you for all of the deep things in Scripture. But right now, I just want to bring it up, Lord, on a person-to-person basis. I just pray that if there's someone listening, that your Holy Spirit would just come upon them and just gently suggest those people maybe that they've had a falling away with, that there's a root of bitterness, that there's something there maybe even that you did to somebody else, and you feel guilty about it. Give them the strength and the power and the courage to just make a phone call. Just call up and say, hey, I just wanted to call and see how you were doing. We just ask that you would speak to each and every individual, because this time at home is not a time for fear and anxiety. It's a time of peace and joy and rest in you, Lord. And we just pray for every person right now that your Holy Spirit would just come and just rest upon them. Give them the peace that passes understanding and this revelation knowledge that John was talking about. Give them that inner revelation, Lord, that inner conviction, that drawing of the Holy Spirit to just get things right. Forgive others for what they've done, and maybe call others and ask them for their forgiveness.
Amen.
But you can start that conversation off by just saying, I just called to see how you were doing. Lord, we just pray that you would move in each and every person's life, in their family, in their relationships, in every area. And you will speak to them, Lord, in a way that they will know that it's you that's speaking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Rick, I really appreciate you calling tonight. I put your website up on my Facebook Live. And if anybody, you want that website, just email us. We'll send it to you. And we'll have you on again, Rick. Really a pleasure being with you tonight on Resurrection Sunday. We only got about a minute left.
I've enjoyed your ministry, John. And everybody should know we met in Israel, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We went to Israel together. And we've been to Washington together, and we'll talk more. I got about 30 seconds. I need to give a shout out to some folks that emailed, but we'll talk soon. Thanks for spending the evening with me.
Okay. Bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bless you, brother. Bye-bye. Praise God. What a privilege, man. I got his website up on the Facebook. It's prophecyusa.org. 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 So make sure you check that out. Quick shout out here to a first time listener, Sue Briggs. Thanks for listening from Guelph tonight. Got another email here tonight from our friend Peter. Good evening. Happy Easter to you and your family. Thank you very much for the word this evening. It's so hard to keep the church family alive by being in isolation, but your radio ministry makes up for that. May our risen Lord bless you in all things. From Peter, listening with the family here in Toronto. God bless you, brother. Great to hear from you. Got another email here tonight from our friend Riley. Riley says, he has risen. Happy Easter. Love you. Love the radio ministry and look forward to hearing the word of truth every week when I can. We live in Delta, British Columbia. Always a beautiful experience listening to you. Praise our Lord, Ray. Thank you, Ray. God bless you, brother. Another email here tonight from Shane. Shane says, many blessings to you on this Easter. Our Lord has risen from the dead. And for the non-believers, that is recent history. 2,000 years ago is just about 25 generations. And if we knew two of our grandmothers, a grandmother and a great-grandmother, then that is about 23 other grandmothers that we did not know. But they were there when Christ was. Wow, that's a good thought right there. This is not a fairy tale. Christ walked the earth. Christ died on the earth. And most importantly, he rose from the dead on the earth. Happy Easter. God bless you, Shane. Great word tonight. Last email here tonight as we get ready to close, Gary. Hello, happy Easter from Walter. This is my opinion. Is the most important day in Christian history. Everything that Christ said and did would not be revealed and believable if he did not rise from the dead, and he is alive. Man, radio audience, and Facebook audience, thank you for being with us tonight. We love you. You know, these are signs of the times that Jesus said in Matthew 24. Jesus is coming soon, but remember this. God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.